welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast, Episode 4. I am Elvis, your host, and I am joined today by the lovely lady Sparkles and Turd Ferguson. Some of you might be wondering what happened to Dickie McGee and Bunny O'Hare from the first two episodes. Well, they'll be back at some point, but since we're all teachers and we work a lot, we almost all kind of have lives outside. And so while everyone loves to be on the podcast, and they will be back, they're just taking a break so they can go back and, you know, get things done outside of teaching. Here at Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast, this is a not safe for work podcast. We are actively drinking and discussing these topics while we enjoy ourselves and as a little bit of stress relief. We are all using pseudonyms so we can remain anonymous because we love our jobs. If you have any stories or if you would like to share anything with us, you can find us at teacherneedsadrinkpodcast.com, or if you have something you want to share, you can tag us on Instagram or Facebook at Teacher Needs a Drink. Now, here we go, episode 4.
All right, welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink. I'm Elvis, your host today, and I have next to me the lovely Miss Sparkles. Miss Sparkles, tell us about yourself.
Hey, y'all. So, my name is Sparkles, and Sparkle. I love fried chicken, reading books, and watching movies with strong female protagonists.
All right, then. I'm not going to say a word. And across from me, I have Turd Ferguson. Turd, tell us about yourself.
Well, I've been teaching for 17 years in the secondary elements, and my hobbies include watching paint dry and snails.
When I first started teaching, I was doing my student teacher under a woman who was amazing. She was a fantastic teacher. She literally wrote the textbook that all the middle schools were using on that subject.
Damn.
And she was an older woman. She was retiring, and I met her. We had a few connections outside of that, and she was wonderful, but her approach was kind of as like a grandmother approach, where these were younger students, and so she could take them. And it was a rough community. It was definitely a rougher area and a lot of interesting challenges that came with that. And so I came in as like a 22-year-old boy, and I was wearing like my little Birkenstock sandals and like my goofy goatee. And they ate me. She's like, oh, all you need to do is just tell them this and maybe offer them a hug. And I remember then she was gone because she had a sickness where she had to be gone for a few months. And so I went from being student teacher to like full-time teacher or permanent sub. I forget what the thing was. And it was murder. It was like these kids were, you guys, like, I am not prepared for this level of what, like, and she had a pretty good handle on it. And there were days where she didn't as much, but she also had, you know, like 50 years of teaching credit and things pull out. Yeah, whoever my supervisor was, they brought her in to sub for me because there were some days where I couldn't be there and was planned absent. And she quit because these kids were too rough. Oh, and like I remember I got her notes like, you're the woman who's supposed to be teaching me and rating me, and you quit because this was too tough. I mean, I took a different position in the school to finish out the year after my student teaching, and she retired, and like, we'd like to offer you this job. I was like, no. No, I'm going to go. They're like, oh, you're going to the city where the money is. No, it's not that. This school is out of control. And it wasn't those kids. There was a big failure at the... It was a top-down. Like, admin had dropped the ball. They had a rough population and a big chicken and egg cycle that just kept feeding and feeding. And it was one of those where, like, okay, I'm going to send this kid to the office because they just literally like, pulled a knife on someone, or they punched like the girl who's pregnant or something crazy in this eighth-grade classroom. And then, like... the principal would send the kid back. Yeah, we took the knife away. It's fine. He's safe now. Like,
it's not fine.
No. And like the kid, like, of course, stomps in. He's all proud because he just like he came out clean. He just sits on the desk. I'm like, okay, I'm in survival mode. I'm just gonna try to make it to the end of the day at this point.
No, I remember I shifted. Well, I went from one district to another, and it was. Night and fucking day. Yeah. So because you went from having a group of students that we were actually told by this particular high school principal that if you ever printed off any tests to go ahead and take them home and shred them at your house because the kids would go into the dumpster trying to find the next answer, the next test.
Those smart kids.
Yes. So they would do
that. Seems like an awful lot of extra work.
Yes, exactly. But they put in that extra work. And then I went to another district, and the only
I'm sorry, I got to go back to this. You had kids that would go in a dumpster, because I have kids that just didn't care. Like, they wanted to win.
Most of these kids at that particular district were going to specific colleges that were either Ivy League or very close.
But, like, so it's probably faster to just study the material and get it right the first time than go into the dumpster
and then memorize it.
And memorize it. Like,
exactly.
Isn't memorizing another word for studying?
Right. Yes. Like, all that time you just spent getting all gross in the dumpster and taping shit back together, you could have just studied.
From there, I went to, it was like two blocks away from the worst part of the city. I introduced myself as Turd Ferguson, obviously, and they referred to me as Mr. White Cornbread.
Oh. To be fair, you are white.
Yeah, that's true.
You are white.
I mean, how are they going to tell the difference between you and everyone else?
Exactly. It was total survival mode. I do remember one of the, vivid memories is I had a student who was there in my homeroom, not one of my classes, just one of my homerooms. And I noticed something in his backpack, and then it's too shiny. And then I realized, no, it's a six shooter.
Oh, God.
So I went ahead and went to my office and got on the office phone to call our own school police. Not like the police. You had your own school district police in there. So in which case, called them down. They came by and, you know, picked him up, took him off. I don't know. I hope he's in jail at that point in time because, you know, he brought a gun onto school property. And it was not loaded. And when I talked with the officer later, he was saying, you know why he brought that on campus? I was like, please tell me. So he said apparently he was going to trade it in for some more weed money. I'm just like, that's a dumbass shit excuse.
That's some expensive weed.
Yeah.
Miss Sparkles, you look confused. I just want to let you know, guns are generally a couple of $100s.
Well, no,
weed is not.
Y'all, okay, I'm not that dumb. Jesus. I've had a student who got super busted, and bless her, because I loved this kid, right? I loved her. I thought she was a great kid. She's super smart, really good, cool kid. And one day I'm sitting in the teacher's lounge and she walks in with an administrator. And I was like, that's weird. Because normally they don't let kids walk through this room. Strange. And they took her to the library because it was like they had like a private room in the library they could take her in. And she straight up, she got arrested. It was on the news because she was selling pot brownies at school to all of her friends. And this is how you know I used to teach the smart kids, right? She had a ledger of all her expenditures and the money that she brought in.
She kept books?
Yeah, she kept books. Like, she did accounting for her little side business, which was hilarious.
And I bet she had the kids' real names in there, too.
Oh, yeah. And
everyone got busted.
And to circle it back around to stupid things you post on social media, she was posting on social media, like, to take orders.
Like, who wants to buy? I'll be there third period. Meet by the dumpster.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, I know.
No.
Yeah, and I was just like, I found out all of this, and she was allowed to come back to school for like a couple days, and then I think her mom transferred her. But I sat her down, and I was like, bro, really? On the social media? And she was like, I know, it was really dumb. And I was like, no, it was really dumb.
Yeah, everybody sees that.
You got picked up by the police at school. That was really bad. And she was like, well, I'm not going to do it anymore. And I was like, I should sure as shit hope not. And even like, I'm going to bring a gun to school so I can buy weed. Like, where is the logic there?
There's like, none.
That's the difference between being tried as an adult and being tried as a minor.
This teacher friend of mine, 2 years into her teaching experience, and then all of a sudden, she's coming into work early, and she's going up the stairwell, and then she hears 2 students going at it. And, just before school. So, you know, 2 students going at it. She's obviously shocked for a couple seconds, and then she decides to use her teacher voice and says, stop! And then the guy turns around and says, oh, your turn's next.
Oh.
No.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, once again, while I was a punk kid and made some very interesting choices and did some asshole things, I never had the balls to mouth off to a teacher or professional.
Hell no. What did she do?
Well,
besides take them to the office.
Yeah, she was just in shock. It was just like, seriously, what do you do at that point in time? I mean, first she used her teacher voice and that didn't really work that well. And then to be told, you know, oh, you're next. So, yeah, she just, you know, got names and took them straight to the office and da-da-da-da-da.
She never went in the hallway ever again after that. I went to a private high school, and there was a security guard, and there were a couple of them. There was one, and I think it's been long enough now, or it's been 23 years, so I could use the name. He was Cuz, and Cuz had a Jeep, and it was kind of a Jeep. It was something you could off-road a little bit. I don't know. Yeah. My memory's fuzzy from back then. But we knew his schedule, because when he was riding, and about like 9:15, he would roundabout this way. Around 10:30, he'd stop at this building and talk to this person, anywhere from 10 minutes to an hour, whatever's going on, and keep going. And so if you were a smart person, you could time like, okay, Lovin's happened 11:20, Bush number 3 over there, get your blanket, baby, and... That charming. I was like, hey, baby. Drool on each other's faces for a while.
See, like, again, I was the most boring, nerdy nerd kid on earth. Like, that just never occurred to me as a student to be like, hey, let's hook up in the bleachers or whatever the stereotypes are. Like, I just
I guess I'm just the person who was like, we had an off-campus lunch, which was stupid enough. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they gave us too much time for off-campus lunch. So, you know.
That's when you would do what you needed to do.
Exactly. You drove to somebody's house and you do what you need to do.
No, but I mean, I'd like to think I was like, there were definitely times where it was a miracle I didn't get caught doing whatever stupid thing I was doing as a high schooler, whether it be anything. It's a miracle I didn't get caught. But I also know there were times I had a brain like, you know what, if you had just moved 10 feet out of the light, or if you know people are walking through the stairwell, you probably could have found an empty classroom. You probably could have waited 30 minutes till after school and not had anyone bothering you. Wait till you get off campus.
Right.
Yeah.
I think, like, and nowadays, like, schools have cameras pretty much everywhere except the bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And kids are still trying to get away with stuff, and I'm like, are you real extra dumb? Like, there's a camera right above your head that can see you.
At least my generation had the common sense to realize, hey, if we go off campus and have a fight, they can't stop us. But now it's, you know, oh, we're going to have a fight on campus, on the camera.
Or we're going to film the fight in the bathroom, the one room that doesn't have cameras. Oh, we're going to bring cameras and we're going to film it.
Oh, and they're going to announce to everybody. Hey, we're fighting at 11 o'clock. In between class,
we're going to the bathroom. We're going to fight. Mm-hmm. And we're going to record it and put it on Snapchat. And I'm like, y'all real dumb.
Yes.
You're going to get caught. And they always do.
Yes.
And then they act really surprised.
What?
I can't believe somebody screenshotted my Snapchat video of me getting into a violent brawl in the bathrooms during school hours.
I can't believe you guys responded when I told everyone I was going to do this. Why would you? Duh. You want to get caught.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, actually, no. I don't think they want to get caught. I think they're just too dumb or too in the moment to think about anything.
They don't think
But
it
now
through.
Because they put everything on Snapchat, it now puts the onus on the school to do something, even if it is off campus. Like, we've had to deal with kids posting, you know, their stupid stuff on their Snapchats and their Instagrams and their Twitters, and somebody brings it to you, and you're like, oh, great. Oh. Now I have to do something.
I'm really not that teacher who doesn't want to deal with anything, but I like my job. I like doing my job, and I like doing the specific areas of my job with the kids, but there's a lot of this other crap I don't want to deal with. Like, you know what? Don't make me need to call your parents. I don't want to talk to them. I've got other stuff. They're going to have excuses. They'll either be apologetic or they'll be confrontational. I don't want to deal with either of them. Can you just not? Can we just both do what we need to do and enjoy it?
Like,
can we just color and talk? And
or like, if you're going to do something that's against the rules, can you not post it on social media? We were all teenagers once, and we all did things that were probably not very smart. Mm-hmm. except me.
No, because you were a goody goody.
I was a really goody two shoes.
What'd you do last night, Miss Sparkles? I watched Buffy till 4 a.m.
No, literally, I've been telling people this. When I went on school trips, we were in trouble because we would stay up all night playing video games. And one time we got in trouble because a friend of mine bought a gallon of blue juice and tried to shoot it out his nose. Steak is not actually a mind-altering substance.
You haven't had a good steak.
No.
First of all, I've had some great steaks. But really... Well,
and they gave you the itis afterwards, and you just kind of sit there and... Okay.
But I will tell you, like, anything that can spike dopamine can become an addiction. But there's a difference between, like, addiction to, like, food or, like, video games and addiction to drugs because the amounts of dopamine are very different. The amount of dopamine from, like, a video game addiction is still within, like, acceptable clinical levels. And so that's why they don't consider it to be damaging unless it's damaging, like, your actual life, like your finances and stuff.
Some of their interpersonal skills.
They lose interpersonal skills because they'll end up disappearing in the game, and that becomes their life. They don't know how to react or talk to people outside of that.
In the flesh.
And they can't handle a face-to-face conversation.
What I find interesting is I was talking to a parent who was concerned about, and she said, we're putting him in your class to kind of deal with his interpersonal skills and various other things. And I was saying, well, you know, that's great. And we'll see if we can get him a buddy or something along those lines and, you know, partner up with someone that he has mutual interest with. And then she said, no. We don't want him to be buddied up with anyone who has mutual interest because all he's doing is going online. And he says that, like, he has friends in California, even though he doesn't live in California, but because they chat all the time through the game that they play, that's his friend in California. And then, of course, you know, he has another friend on the other side of the world and all this other stuff. And on one hand, I'm thinking, well, that's pretty cool because you can reach out and find some people that have the same mutual interest as you, and they may not be in your city, but also a little bit scary because, you know, Jerry could be a pedophile.
Right.
So
you don't actually know
exactly
who those people are.
Yeah. So, but it's kind of one of those state of affairs where this is just where they are going. And, you know, they have friends who are not actually in reality or friends that they contact day to day. Because, you know, my son, he at least has 4 or 5 friends in the neighborhood, and I'm very thankful that he goes outdoors and plays with them for a little bit. And, you know, my son, I'm the terrible parent who will not allow my son to play online games.
Chris, I found myself struggling with some of the concepts that are some of the things that the kids are into, or these kids these days, or the students are these days, because it's just so wildly different from what I had access to a kid and or when I was a kid. It took me a long time to accept YouTube as a valid form of entertainment, where I have, like, my own children who are, you know, preteen and not preteen at all. And they're like, they would rather watch YouTube than any kind of TV channel or anything like that. They have their own channels on YouTube they watch. But for a while, I was like, why are you going to watch? It's just somebody with a thing. Blah, blah, blah. And I was kind of shaking my stick. And I was like, oh, this is just the new thing. And
yeah,
I learned to accept it and move on.
I remember when my friend's daughter was really young, like toddler age, and they had like a little kid tablet, you know, the ones that can only go on like 4 things, you know. And it had like channels on it that you could watch, and it was like other kids unwrapping presents and stuff like that. And she loved those. But is it so different than like me watching Nickelodeon as a kid?
Or a cooking show.
Or a cooking show or something like that.
They have studies that have shown when kids are watching those unwrapping videos or when anyone's watching those unwrapping videos, it triggers the same parts in the mind as if they were doing it themselves. And so while some people might get really excited watching football on TV in the afternoon and really go, they kind of, it triggers the same response as if they were scoring a touchdown or they were making that play. And same thing where they see this awesome toy and they see how they open it and they get to see, it triggers all the same parts. And so when you have a young kid's mind, especially a kid who might not have a lot of toys or might, you know, just being a kid, want a lot of toys and like, you know what? I'm sure as hell never going to spend $300 on some piece of shit, like, you know, Hatchimal, Papa stuff, blind bag thing for my kid. And but if they can watch on a YouTube video and get triggered and feel just happy and get it out of their system, then good. Really go for some chips right now.
Chips and queso.
Oh yeah.
Those release a lot of dopamine. And let me tell you, sometimes I need it.
Now there's my local taco parlor where I know the bartenders there. That was my nice little dopamine after a stressful day. I'd go have my chips and salsa and my drink or two, and it was a good way to cope. It was a good way to relax. Not the healthiest way. I've changed. I'm trying to walk the dog now. So get home, walk the dog, put on some music, listen to a podcast. When I'm really, really stressed, it has to be music. When it's, you know, not that bad, I can do a podcast. And if I'm actually pretty chill and everything's good, I'll do audiobooks because then I can focus. But
right.
Depending on how distracted I am.
Do you guys find that as a teacher, people give you tons of food?
No, I'm grateful they want to show, and it's an easy, but food's a simple way that you can kind of please everyone. What the hard thing was when I was teaching, or when I was in a lot of schools, is that sometimes teachers would lose their minds when it came to food.
Yes.
And it's like, hey, there's like a burrito station in here, or there's this, and then it would just be gone.
It's chaos. Yes.
And
it's
people would be like, hey, can you watch my class for 10 minutes? I'm going to go get lunch now because it'd be gone. But then you wouldn't be able to get anything because they ate all the food before. And I am grateful now that I'm working with a lot of private schools. Elementary school teachers acted like elementary school kids when it came to lunch. And same thing with middle school. They're like, nope, this seat's for us and we're eating this right now. So I can't believe you
tried
to sit
here. It's like Mad Max in the Thunderdome when somebody leaves a cake in the teacher's lounge. Yep. Or like you get an email from an organization that's like, hey guys, the cheerleaders left some cookies in the teacher's lounge. Mm-hmm. And you run in there and like all the cookies are already gone.
And they're just savage. Like you'll see teachers taking like 30 cookies and like running back to their room. Like I got some for my team and I got some for later. I got some for tomorrow.
And like I'm guilty. I've done it before when they've had like chips. I know, but I love chips. And if it's like Cheetos,
you know,
I'm
a
like,
bag
I'm
of chips is
two...
like $3, right? You can just get one.
You know, I teach public school, right? I don't have $3.
I bet you guys are also animals. Like if you had a Costco or Sam's Club, you see the samples, like you know what? You would never ever want to eat that funky granola that's been there all day long that the woman like nose hair is breathing on.
Wow!
But then you're like, oh, it's free.
It's free because we're bored. We want to eat.
Yep.
Chipotle 1 year had a thing that they gave us a fax thing, and if you faxed in your order, you got a free burrito.
Mm-hmm.
But we had like 1,000 of those, and so every day I'd fax it and I'd go pick up my burrito, and then I'd fax in a second one and get my second free burrito. So I had lunch and dinner. Of course, it's like 5,000 calories, but
yeah. Free is always in the budget.
No, I love the places, the movie theaters that I'll do. Like, if you have a teacher ID, you get free this week.
Yes.
I love that. Half Price Books is amazing.
Yes.
It's their education. I will raid Half Price Books. I'll live there if I can.
Oh, I've got the Barnes & Noble educator discount. I used it today. In fact, 25% off? Heck yeah.
Yes.
The very first district I taught, they would give us it was like a 1% raise or 2% raise. It was like nothing, right? But instead of putting it on our paycheck and giving us like an extra $4 a paycheck, they would give it to us in a lump sum in November, like before Christmas shopping.
That's handy.
And I loved that because it was like, it wasn't that much. It wasn't even a month's worth of my rent, but like
it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, but like that extra $600 in my paycheck right before Christmas time was major, and I wish that more districts would consider that. Just because, like, yes, it's especially because the state, quote unquote, gave us raises this year.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't great. But like I would actually like it more if instead of an extra $24 on my paycheck, I just got a check in like October, which is my birth month. So like I'd love to get it in October, and that's my raise. Like then I feel like I can use it for more than like that extra $24. It just doesn't. An extra $24 doesn't go very far.
No, it's a tank of gas.
Yeah.
Most of a tank of
gas. I mean,
gas.
I guess I could put it in a bank account, like every month, put that extra $24 away somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then spend it at the end of the year. Mm. But we all know I have to buy my Rosa's chips and queso. So.
All right. Thanks for joining us. That was a lot of fun, Miss Sparkles. I hope you have a fantastic week and the rest of it goes amazing. I'll be seeing you at that conference coming up soon.
Yes. Thank you so much. Can't wait for conference.
And
should be a good time.
It's going to be awesome. Turd Ferguson, you have an amazing week. Well, cheers, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Woo. Cheers.
Chaim.
Thank you for joining us at Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast is brought to you by Ludlum Dramatics Educational Theater Posters. If you need theater posters for your classroom or you know a theater teacher in your building who could benefit from something awesome made by small-time teachers, go to ludlamdramatics.com. They have all the theater posters for you. I'd like to give a special thanks to Miss Sparkles and Turd Ferguson for joining us. Next week, we recorded everything live in our podcast from the educational conference. There's about 6 different hours of drunken ramblings from about 7 or 8 different teachers we met with at a bar. I'm currently editing all of it and trimming it down to get some of the more interesting parts out of it, but I hope you guys will stick with us and listen. Please leave us a review if you can, and always subscribe. Anyway, I love you. I don't really know what else to say. Thanks for listening to Teacher Needs a Drink. Blah, blah, blah. Mwah. Bye, guys.
Go home. Go home. Go home.